are part of a balanced breakfast and proud members of the Geek.io podcast network. This is the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday! Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's Dale Campbell here with you. We're doing it for Geek.io. And we are live in all of our places. We're live on Twitch, twitch.tv/genericliveshow with simulcast to geek-io.net/live. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Sunday. 50 days until I leave to go to America. Holy moo cow. Yes, we're going to start the show off with a little bit of housekeeping. Hope you don't mind. It's, you know, it's Sunday. You know, it's Sunday to me. Okay. We're a minute and 30 in and we're already going off track. But Sundays to me is the day where, you know, you get the dusting done for the week, and, you know, you kind of, you know, you make the school lunches, you know, iron the clothes, you do all the jazz and the stuff and the things, you know, as you do. And I don't know if that came through the audio, but a dog started barking right when I finished that sentence. That was pretty beautiful. All right, hopefully that came through on the audio. If it didn't, then I enjoyed a little moment here in the studio. But Sundays are for housekeeping. It's where I was going with that. And a little bit of housekeeping. 50 days until I leave to go to America and participate. And, well, that first weekend is Dragon Con, in fact. So I will be a participant at Dragon Con. Well, in what capacity, one will never know, but Geek.io will have a show there. That's a thing. And that's a promise. And I don't know what we're doing yet as a Generic Live Show. We are not doing any shows those 2 weeks in the regular time slot that I'm away. I'm just going to put that out there. It's too hard to get up at 7 in the morning and do 2 shows over there. So the Sunday of the 3rd and the 10th of September are out. The 17th of September might also be out, but I'll see about that. The 17th of September, I'll be back. That'd be the first week back, and I don't know if I'll be here. So we'll see. See where we go from here. That is a maybe. It might not be a regular. It might not be a regular 2-hour show like we normally do on that one. That's a possibility on the 17th of September. So, but we'll be back with regular shows after that, right up until Christmas, which that'll start the rundown into the best of the year perfectly. So there you go. I'll come back from America and then have to start working on the best of the year stuff. So that's very exciting. So there you go. And yeah, we'll be doing all of that. We'll be doing our prediction show over the Christmas New Year period, and then 2018 will be here before we know it, because we're at the 9th of July and we're over the hump. So here comes 2017 rolling down the way. Okay, so I have to admit something right off the bat as well. This week, there was really not much news, so I was a little worried that the show wouldn't have enough content in it, but we did find enough content, which kind of led me to talk about this G20 summit. So you may have heard about this all over the place, the G20 summit, and thanks to Donald Trump, the 2017 G20 summit has left even more fireworks than usual. The annual meeting of G20 leaders, the annual meeting of the G20, the leaders of 19th wealthiest nations plus the European Union, has traditionally greeted with fierce anti-globalization protests, and this week's summit in Hamburg in West Germany is no exception. But thanks to the presence of US President Donald Trump, the atmosphere was both inside the convention center and out on the streets is likely to be even more charged than usual. Germany has the presidency of the G20 this year and has put on the agenda topics almost guaranteed to rile the US president, including climate change, free trade, and helping migrants and refugees. Okay, first of all, they're not. I wouldn't say that that's they're specifically targeted at the United States president. I mean, they're hot topics of the day. I'm not sure where this article was going with that, but anyway. Trump has already pulled the largest economy out of the group's major climate agreement and is expected to suggest new tariffs and trade hurdles in the meetings today and tomorrow. Anti-globalization protests have been planning for the summit for months, and their job is easier in the fact that Germany chose, to dismay of Hamburg's police, to hold it at a venue in the middle of the city, guaranteeing major disruptions. Well, claps to Germany for that. Over 100,000 protesters are expected to attend, and already dozens have been arrested, while over 150 police officers have been injured. Actually, I wasn't going to cover this on this show until I realized I didn't have anything else to talk about for the first segment of both hours, but I saw some chilling images in that, video of these protesters, and they're really going wild with some of these protesters in Germany. So they're getting serious. The violence and tension are aside, the summit is still vital of the global economic stability, and it's the only time the leaders of the world's top economies, excuse me, may be gathered in one room to discuss economic challenges the world is facing. Despite the rise in nationalist and protectionist sentiment in the US, UK, and elsewhere, trade is still what powers the global economy. It accounts for just over 58% of global GDP, though that's down from a peak of 60.9% before the 2008 financial crisis. Okay, so why would that be? People, why would that be? Why would people want to do things more in-house than, say, export and import? I think to me, I think that people would want to protect what their assets and protect what they have, I guess. I think that's the thinking there. I think it is. I'm not entirely sure, but I'm not an economist, so I only play one on the radio, so there you go. But it's definitely up from 38, say, back in 1990, would that be two? Up to a peak of about 60%, and then crashed to about between 52, 50 and 52 in 08, and then peaked back up, and it's steadily declining as of 2014. So there you go. An expansion of the G7, the leaders from the seventh wealthiest, richest nations. The G20 was formed after the Asian financial crisis of the late 1990s, after, quote, it became clear that global financial issues could no longer be managed, unquote, in traditional ways. Former US Treasury Secretary Larry Summers and his research assistant Matthew Scuffold explained in a PDF in a 2012 article, quote, it is one should visit one's doctor before one has a serious medical problem. Ah, okay. One should visit the doctor before they have a serious medical problem. They wrote, quote, it is the way that the first decade of meetings in the G20 finance ministers and central bank governors will be remembered, unquote. So the wealthiest nations. So here are the wealthiest nations in 2016. Let's do. You know what? Let's make this fun. Let's do this the generic live show way. I feel like we're not doing this. Not doing this the generic live show way. So, who made it into the G20? The G20 summit. A new game show we like to play here on the generic live show is who made it? It's time for who made it into the G20 summit. Okay. I feel like we didn't have enough flair in this segment. It was just global talk. Okay, so coming in at number 20. All right, this is gonna be a while, folks. Coming in number 20, South Africa. This is in billion dollars? Yeah, $295 billion. Then we've got Argentina, followed by Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Indonesia, Mexico, Australia, Russia, South Korea, Canada, Brazil, Italy, India, France, United Kingdom. Ah, I see what they're doing here. Germany, Japan, China, the European Union, and the USA. 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 But China. China moved up the ranks. Ooh, it moved all the way up to number 3. But it's still behind the US and the EU. I mean, the European Union excludes everyone from the United Kingdom, I suppose. Oh, and that has been... Oh, sorry. Oh, let's close out this segment properly. That has been the top 20 wealthiest countries of the world. Yeah. All right. That's enough of that. I thought I'd jazz up the G20 just a little bit, I guess. Total population. Oh no, it continues. All right. Yep. We got the population of these countries. I'm again. Last place. Oh, there you go. Australia. Then you got South Korea, Saudi Arabia, Canada, Argentina, South Africa, Italy, United Kingdom, France, Turkey, Germany, Japan, Mexico, Russia, Brazil, Indonesia, USA, European Union, India, and China. Well, that's interesting. Okay, so the USA, who is the has the most money, is the fourth most popular. Huh. Okay. The EU, which is the second most rich, is the third most popular. And say, let's go with India. Where's India on that first list? Right in the middle. So, hang on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. K25 is 14? God, did I get that right? yeah, there you go. That's... Okay. Right. And I think I've screwed that up. Alright, so... But that's interesting. Per capita GDP in 2016. USA, Saudi Arabia, Germany, Australia, Canada, UK, Japan, France, etc. Okay. This week, German Chancellor... Angela Merkel, as I like to call her, criticized Trump's administration's protectionism, saying globalization is seen by American administrations more as a process than not as a win-win situation, but the winners are but about winners and losers. That's fair. I can say that. There are a few opinions to make success of globalizations. Merkel warned earlier in a report, laying out the meaning priorities, there can be no return to pre-globalization world. That's fair. Angela Merkel being making headlines lately. Hey, I mean, we didn't talk about this on the show. There didn't seem to be a... we didn't talk about this last week on the show, but Germany legalizing gay marriage. I don't know if we've got I didn't talk about this, but apparently it took only like 3 days to pass through as well. Sorry, I'm replying to something in the chat. NeonCat5112, there's a copy of me on the stream. I'm not sure what you mean. Okay, moving along. But we'll talk about these protesters in greater detail. Yeah, I'm having a little bit of trouble with the simulcast thing. So, there you go. So that could be it. I'm not too sure. So there you go. But more of the details. Oh, we can read. This can be read to me. This will be fun. This article. Let's see what comes up here when I would need this article to read to me. But Hamburg protests turn violent as G20 summit kicks off. Like I said, 159 police officers injured, 45 protesters arrested as leaders from the world's largest economies meet in Germany. Thousands of people have been taken to the streets of Hamburg, Germany, to protest against capitalism, climate policies, and globalizations, among
Thousands
other.
of
Oh,
people
here we
have
go.
taken to the streets of Hamburg, Germany, to protest against
Oh. Capitalism. I think it's stuck on the word capitalism. Oh no! Climate policies and globalizations, among other issues, as the world's leaders gather for the 2-day G20 summit. I swear it was longer than that. The way that the headlines were talking, it seems a lot.
capitalism.
Oh, here we
Climate
go.
policies and globalization, among other issues, as world leaders
Yeah,
gather for the 2-day G20 summit.
I just said that.
Demonstrators and officers clashed in some neighborhoods on Friday, prompting the Hamburg police to request additional reinforcements to help cope with the scale of the protests. According to officials, about 20,000 police officers were already on duty for the 2-day summit, where the leaders of the world's top
Far out.
economies will tackle everything from trade to climate change to major conflicts. Some activists smashed windows and torched patrol cars and other
Oh.
vehicles on Friday morning, while riot
What?
police used water cannon and pepper spray on activists. A police spokeswoman also said that at least 159 officers had been injured and at least 45 people had been arrested. Hamburg police said at least 45 people had been
Oh,
arrested during protests
that's
on
reading the
Thursday and
picture
Friday.
subtitle.
Hannibal Hahn, Reuters. More than 100,000 people are expected to take part in demonstrations and marches across Hamburg on Friday and Saturday. Those in the streets are protesting against a number of issues.
Oh. Loading, loading. Oh, okay, so that's we'll figure that out. Including capitalism, climate policies and globalization. Thanks, lady. There are so many.
Including capitalism,
Now I've
climate
spoken.
policies, and globalization. There are so many issues involved politically in the G20 summit, said Al Jazeera's David Chater, reporting from Hamburg. They are against the globalist capitalist system. They are against Trump's attempts to pull out of the climate change accords. They're essentially protesting every single issue that's going to be raised in this G20 summit. Trump-Putin talks. President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin had a brief first encounter on Friday when they shook hands and exchanged pleasantries. Al Jazeera's James Bayes, reporting from Hamburg, said Trump and Putin have important issues to discuss, particularly Ukraine, but also the issue of Syria, where it is believed that there may be a new initiative coming from Russia and the US to try to get the political track moving and to try to get some stabilization zones around Syria. Trump's meeting with Putin will take place at the same time as a closed-door meeting on climate change, which could be a bit of a sign about Trump's policies on the climate, Bayes said. Also on Friday, protesters blocked the route of US First Lady Melania Trump, according to the German DPA news agency. A White House spokeswoman told Al Jazeera that the First Lady's motorcade could not be given clearance to leave because of the security situation.
That's fair.
Protests against the G20 have taken place across Hamburg
Reading the
since
picture
last week,
subtitles again.
Boris Rosler, DPA AFP. Many other groups are calling for peaceful protests and are pushing the G20 leaders for action to fight climate change and address economic disparities in the world. Some are even calling for the dissolution of the G20 itself so that the United Nations becomes the platform for such discussions. The G20 summit comes at a time of major shifts in the global geopolitical landscape, with US President Donald Trump's America First policies pushing Europe and China closer together. Source: Al Jazeera and news agencies. Europe Germany protests.
All right. Yeah, you don't have to read the whole thing, particularly when I tell you to stop. That'd be great as well. Okay, so that's the G20. I mean, I was reluctant to bring it up, but hey, I have to fill time somehow. That's exactly right. All right, as we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's the Generic Live Show. So, the Seinfeld turns 28 this week, and there are apparently things that you don't know about it. We'll tell you more as we continue Here on the Jack Live Show for a Sunday as we continue. Thanks for joining us. It's GLS, it's Daryl Kimball here with you at Ornit for Geek.io. Thanks for joining us. It's 9:20. Hold on tight. This is the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's Dale Campbell here with you. We're doing it for Geek.io. Thanks for joining us. It's a pleasure as per always. Now, Seinfeld. We all know the Seinfeld. You know, the comedy show from the 90s. It's celebrating its 28th birthday. It mostly aired in the 90s. So one of the most popular shows of all time is celebrating its 28th birthday today. Seinfeld took a while to find its feet after premiering in 1989, but by the end of the mid-90s, the show was a hit. It ended in 1997 after 9 glorious seasons with more than 75 million Americans tuning in to watch the finale. Jeepers, that's a lot of people. And to celebrate the show's birthday, news.com.au has selected some of the most interesting fact about the show about nothing. The role of George. Jason Alexander wasn't the first choice to play George Constanza. David Letterman's former musical sidekick, Paul Schaefer, revealed in his autobiography that Jerry Seinfeld was originally offered to him the role before the show debuted in 1989. There was no audition, Seinfeld reportedly said in a message he left for Schaefer. You've got the part, just call us back. Schaefer never called back. Huh. Okay. Jason Alexander threatened to quit. Jason Alexander revealed to Access Hollywood that he once told co-creator Larry David that he might walk away from the show. Quote, very early on, Larry wrote an episode where Elaine and Jerry go to Florida and Kramer and George are not in that episode, unquote, Alexander said. When Seinfeld started, I was very successful career in theatre in New York, which is what I thought I was going to be doing all my life, so I was written out of an episode, and I came back the next week, and I said, Larry, look, I get it, but if you do that again, I do it permanently. Oof, ouch. If you don't need me here every week, I just go back home and do what I was doing. Oh, ouch. Owie, that hurts. Our theme song. Seinfeld composer Jonathan Wolff rewrote the theme song for every single episode. Oh, Jesus. I knew each monologue was going to be different because Jerry tells different jokes, so I had to make it adjustable. He told great big story. I noticed that Jerry has lyrical delivery to his jokes, and I put a clock on it, and that became the tempo for the theme. The bass line is so simple it could start and stop for his jokes, hold for laughs, and that's where I could architect each piece of music for each monologue, Lego style. Actually, we have a clip about the theme song here. Apparently,
on board, except the network. The notes were, what is this music? What is that instrument? Can we not afford real music? It's distracting. It's annoying.
But Larry David wasn't having it.
Larry David, the hero of this story, liked that it was annoying, said, don't you dare! Wolf, you're done here! Get out! And I left, and the music stayed in the picture.
There you go. I like the theme song. Can we hear a bit of that? Can we hear a bit of that Seinfeld theme music? Just for posterity reasons, because it'd be fun. Is this it? It's gonna play an ad, but that's fine. All right, so side music was a bit annoying, but changed every single episode. So, oh, this is. Is that that in? Okay, we're gonna turn that down before we get ID'd. But is that the bump 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 noise that they're talking about is annoying? I disagree. Anyway, we'll continue here. Jerry Seinfeld's favorite episode. There were 180 episodes in total, but Seinfeld has two favorites in particular. One was The Ride, because he shoot that at Paramount Studios in LA, which is the first time that we thought, wow, we've always made this like a real TV show. Jeez. And the comedian's other favorite is The Pothole. Newman drives his mail truck over a sewing machine and his mail truck bursts into flames. Oh, jeez. Ah, there you go. Seinfeld storylines. Carol Luther was a writer on Seinfeld, told news.com.au that friends would always pitch ideas for her for potential storylines. When you wrote on Seinfeld, the bane of any writer's existence was people coming to you and saying, oh, I got the best idea for a Seinfeld episode. I have a friend from high school who says I have the greatest Seinfeld idea, she says. We had a dinner party the other night, and those people brought a bread to serve at the dinner. I forgot to put the bread out, and I noticed that at the end of the night, they took the bread home. I remember saying to the friend, you know what? I'm going to pitch that to Larry and Jerry because I think there's something here. And that's the episode where the rye was born. Scrapped episode. As Seinfeld revealed during a Reddit AMA, they decided to scrap an episode in which Jerry was going to buy a handgun. Oh boy. Yeah, that would have been... That's a good idea about that one. A show about nothing, as Jennifer Kinston Armstrong revealed in her book Seinfeldia. The people who made the show hated the whole show about nothing thing. Seinfeld writer Paul Mellon told Armstrong, quote, it created a minster about the show. I mean, it's the only show on TV that's about nothing. Seinfeld was talking on issue after issue after issue, not even consistently, just because, you know, Elaine's dating a guy who's anti-abortion. It's funny! Haha. I don't have any laughter on my soundtrack, do I? I don't, no. There is this. I mean, there's that, if that's what you're into. But anyway. Killing off Susan. Jason Alexandra told Howard Stern that the show's creators decided to kill off the character of Susan because the cast had a hard time working with actor Heidi Swedberg. Oh, jeez. Huge offer. NBC's former president offered them, oh, jeez, nearly $100 million to make another season. That's $5 million an episode. Jeepers. And Patrick Walton, who played Puppy, told news.com.au that Jerry Seinfeld gave all the cast members a gift of the taping after the final episode. Aww. That's nice. That's nice indeed. But we are going to play the theme song to the break because why not? Because I can. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, oh my gosh! The Generic Live Show is covering a show about nothing. No! I've reached the point of no return, ladies and gentlemen. Wow, I can't believe that. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, well, we all like video games, but is there there's a lesson to be had in video games sometimes. Video games teaches us very important lessons. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, we're doing it as for Geek.io. Twitch.tv/GeekIoShow. It's 9:31. Thank you.
You finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's Dale Campbell here with you. It's a pleasure as per always. We're doing it for Geek.io. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/genericliveshow, simplecast, geek-io.net/live. That's right. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for joining us. Whether you're listening to us live or on the podcast, too, we have a podcast. Just search Generic Live Show on your favorite podcasting app, and we'll be here. We'll be right here. Hours 1 and 2 get separated on the podcast feed too, and we put up one of the audiences or my favorite moment of GLS, and yeah, it's a real fun time. You should check out the podcast if you miss any of the live stream. And we do pre-show, post-show as well on the Twitch stream, but we don't post that anywhere, so there's incentives for live and there's incentives for podcasts as well. We're incentives all round. It's the incentive show. But speaking of incentive show, video games are very prominent in the 21st century. Discuss! Yeah, discuss. Discuss. Video games. Hey, we had the show about nothing thing. The Generic Live Show talking about the show about nothing thing earlier, so there you go. There is that. So, but video games can teach people valuable life lessons. We have an article here from John Harrison from Lifehacker, how he talks about how video games taught him personal accountability, blame, procrastination, and self-victimization. The terrible trifecta that can sink your career and limit your levels of personal success. We often find ourselves resorting to bad patterns, especially in the workplace. I've noticed in one place in my own life where these traits are nowhere to be seen, while he plays video games. When he is playing video games, he gets stuck with a puzzle or a difficult boss fight, and rather blaming, he starts looking for different ways to overcome the problem. Remember, a very early breakthrough happened whilst playing Mega Man 2 on the NES. He found himself stuck on one stage, unable to advance. Each time he lost a life, he would run back into the challenge, figuring out another way to overcome the obstacle. He didn't blame it on the game, its designers, the President of the United States, thanks Trump, and or his parents, or even the publisher Capcom. Instead, he took responsibility for his action, the way he solved problems, and subsequent outcomes. He eventually figured things out, and a great satisfaction in his accomplishment. And I'm sharing this article with you because I think it's important to sit down and go, all right, video games teaches people lessons sometimes. Video games are not that bad, and I think there's some stigma around video games that is a little bit unfair sometimes, and I just want to chip away at that as well. And this is also another reminder how I need to play more video games myself, so there you go. Sometimes lessons are lessons from unlikely places. Sometimes lessons are learnt in the hard way. David Heichter, screenwriter and voice actor for the character Solid Snake of Metal Gear Solid series, told him about a lesson he learned from a game Oddworld, Abe's Odyssey. Quote, you go right up there to the ledge before you jump. Excuse me, bumping the desk here. Or you will be destroyed by some horrible mutant crab creature. He's right, you know. We often need to solve problems with experimentation by learning from other mistakes. The one-touch spikes. Harmless-looking mushrooms, water, fire, happy flying faces, electrical seaweed, any number of innocent or random things can end a game with precious little warning. That mutant crab might get you for the first 10 tries, but you might make it on the 11th. This principle applies to our lives as well. In the professional world, no one really is interested in excuses, only results. Intentions don't matter as much as we end up. While it sounds harsh, consider it happens in a video game where you intend to jump but never hit the button before sailing off into a bottomless pit. Intentions do not insulate us from the consequences of our own actions. In the author's career, he's felt guilty of the equivalent of sitting down with the controller and blaming bad game design on my inability to advance. But I've learned that from his inaction, he wouldn't advance at all. He had to take the situation into his own hands. I mean, that is rough. And I mean, I read this and I heard of this. I read this and you know, it's a bit like, you know, I mean, I read this and I linked this back to the internship that I did. You got Keijo, KSGO, Catabear. I don't know. I don't know what you're referring to. I don't know what that is. What is CSGO? Don't know what you mean. But I'll look it up. That's certainly. I'll certainly look that up. Anyway, anyway, we'll move on from there. It's a bit warm in here, though. Anyway, how we win video games. We'll move on. More than pure persistence, we take accountability for our own actions whilst gaming. He noticed. When playing video games, rather than asking, why can't I do this, I ask myself, how can I do this? This is one area that video game players have developed a skill that has been amazing real-world application as long as we have brave enough to put it into use. In the book QBQ, The Question Behind the Question, John J. Miller provides simple yet elegant approach to creating better questions and better answers to lead... What? Creating better questions, and better questions lead to better answers. Okay, here's a crash course in asking better questions using the QBQ approach. Ask a question that starts with the word what or how. Avoid using why, when, or who. Use a personal pronoun I, not them, they, person's name, and focus on a specific action. For example, when is someone going to offer me a better job? Otherwise, no. How can I make myself more promotable? Okay. The before is, why don't we have more resources to get the job done? The after, what can I do to get the job done with what I have in front of me? Okay. There you go. That's interesting. See the difference? So while subtle in structure, it's changing its practice. Ask yourself better questions. It works because you focus on what you can do, not what you think is out of control. After all, I can take control for me and my actions. Life is a lot better when I focus on what I can do rather than focus on what I cannot do. Leveraging the skill of personal accountability will earn respect of others both on a personal and professional level after winning in life almost as easy as winning in a video game. That's interesting. This last semester, and yeah, I said this at the top of the show, I did indeed pass my degree, so I'll be obtaining my degree. And you know, that is what that is. So, and I had to do an internship as a part of it. So, and I had to, you know, it was a different situation. So I had to learn how to respond to particular situations. And, you know, it's tough to kind of adopt to new situations on the fly if you're not used to doing that. But I think once you've gotten used to responding to particular situations, you get to adapt easier. I think it becomes easier once you've done that sort of stuff before. It becomes easier to adapt to new situations once you've done it once or twice, and it's the consistency thing as well. And this article is really good on focusing on that, but as well, you have to kind of think, you know, you might get really good at a level if you go back and play it a certain number of times as well. And I do need to play more video games for these reasons, that I need to learn to, you know, it's okay to fail sometimes, and, you know, that's all about, you know, you're not going to defeat the boss on the first try. That's definitely a positive. So there you go. I'm getting a little weird. The Twitch stream is getting weird. Huh, okay. So, but meanwhile, remember Jawbone? Aww. You know, the fitness tracker with the Bluetooth speaker that was all the rage. Aww. Remember those things? Remember those things? You know, the original, like, Fitbit, I guess. But, no, so, Jawbone, rather, is no more. Aw, ba-da-ba-ba-ba. With fitness tracker and Bluetooth speaker, CEO liquidating the business assets and moving on to the medical and hard software and medical hardware industry. First reported by The Information, CEO Hoskin Rahman had moved on with funds already raised to start Jawbone Health Hub. We have an idea that might happen when last year Jawbone started investing funds into clinical grade fitness trackers, but sources tell Business Insider the company had troubles getting them to work properly. Aww. Jawbone was once valued at $3.9 billion, but stopped production on both its Bluetooth speakers and fitness trackers entirely last year, selling the remaining stock to a third-party reseller. Although $165 million in funding was raised in February 2015, last year Jawbone sought to force off the UP trackers at a discount to keep the rest of the company afloat, according to TechSider sources. The UP2, the UP3, the UP4 lagged in sales despite having frankly glorious app support, and struggled to make a dent in the wearables market against major competitors Fitbit and Apple in the last 5 years since it entered the market. Jawbone is currently in a legal battle claiming patent infringements against Fitbit. Jawbone has declined to comment on those reports. Aww, that is unfortunate that Jawbone has decided to go that route. Yeah, so it's definitely the Jawbone is it was a pioneer for a period of time there. I'm not gonna lie, like, that was, Jawbone was all of the rage. I thought it was, you know, all of the rage. So, and then it stopped. 3.9. How do you go from 3.9 billion to nothing? And they raised $165 million in funding in February of 2015. Man, it was sold off its trackers to kind of keep afloat. That is not good. The comment sections on this article is good. Apple does wearables? Yeah, it's called the Apple Watch. How about the Apple Watch? I think the Apple Watch, and that's the main problem about big businesses who already have a market, kind of, as they release a new product, they've already got that pre-established market there, and to kind of bring in a new market is kind of a little bit hard, and it makes it difficult that, you know, it makes it difficult for new people like Jawbone to get into the market, because you've got this huge mammoth coming in and going, all right, we're doing this product now. So, you know, why, you know, it makes it a little hard. So there you go. Man, Jawbone going out of business, that sucks. You know, they were good. They were good while it lasted. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, well, it's time to bring back one of our favorite segments, the Trump Tracker. Ladies and gentlemen, Trump Tracker time. Indeed. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, thanks for joining us on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's Darryl Campbell here with you. We're doing it for Geek.io. It's 9:50.
Hey, you! Yes, you! Whether we're waking you up or putting you to sleep, this is the Generic Live Show.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's Darryl Campbell here with you. We're doing it for Geek.io. It's a pleasure as per always here on a Sunday, whether you're listening to us live or on your hard drive. Hey, a person in the chat earlier, I want to clarify a few things. We are having a few technical difficulties today. I didn't get your message until way later, and it's not showing up on the main Twitch chat, so there is that, and we're having troubles with our main simulcast software as well. So if things aren't quite working on geek-io.net/live, there are a few, I think I've sorted those out, but you never know. So thanks for joining us. But podcast bit listeners, you breeze through all this like there's no tomorrow. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. If you do want to join us live, we do record 7 a.m. Eastern Time US. That's 9 p.m. Eastern Australian Time. You can join us here. But you can join us right now for what we like to call the Trump Tracker. Trump has not done anything. Alright, moving on, ad break, as we continue. There's been a lull in Promise Tracker news, so we might, starting next week, we might have to come up with a new segment for this. So there you go, we might have to do that. It's day 170 of the Trump administration, day 171 of the Trump administration, with 1,289 days left in his term. Us, along with the Washington Post, are tracking progress of 60 pledges he's made during the campaign and whether or not he achieves that goal. So, and there's still 6 kept, 4 broken, 12 launched, 5 stuck, 1 compromised, 32 not yet rated. Launched, of course, we've got in the launched category, which is where we're going to focus most of our time. We've got create 10 million jobs in his first term. And we're at, 138,000 plus. So that's not going to be great. Cancel millions in payments to the UN climate change programs and make money to fix America's water and infrastructure. Fully repeal and replace Obamacare. Lift energy restrictions on the production of $50 trillion worth of job-producing American energy reserves, including shale, oil, natural gas, and clean coal. Expand military investment. Lower business tax rate from 35% to 15%. Reduce the number of tax brackets from 7 to 3 and likely granting simplified tax forms. Let the state manage Medicaid funds. Begin removing more than 2 million criminal illegal immigrants from the country. Eliminate the defense sequitur. Redirect education money to give parents the right to send their kid to public, private, charter magnet religious school or homeschooling of their choice, and create a task force on violent crime. Those have been launched. So there you go. Then we've got establish a screening for procedures for immigration to ensure these are yet to be launched. So that's another interesting area to watch as well. Establishing screening procedures for immigration and immigration to ensure those who are admitted to our country support our people and our way, our values. Pass a law to protect our vital infrastructure from cyber attack. Intact new ethics reforms to reduce the corrupting of influence of special interests. Increase funding programs for that train and assist local police. Reduce surging crime, drugs, and violence, which that's pretty broad. Provide veterans with the ability to receive public VA treatment or attend a private doctor of their choice. Increase resources for federal law enforcement agencies and federal prosecutors to dismantle criminal gangs against violent offenders behind bars. Establish a 5-year mandatory minimum federal prison sentence for re-entering the country illegally. Establish a 2-year mandatory minimum federal prison sentence for illegally re-entering the US after previous deportation. Create a tax-free dependent care savings account for our young and elderly dependents. Incentivize employees to provide on-site childcare services. Make Mexico reimburse the US for the wall. Provide matching combinations for low-income families to dependent care savings accounts. Allow purchase of health insurance across state lines. Replace Obamacare with health savings account. Jeepers. Cut red tape at the FDA. Allow Americans to deduct child care and elderly care from their taxes. Leverage public partnerships and private investors through tax incentives to spur $1 trillion in infrastructure. Establish tariffs to discourage companies from laying off their workers and relocate to other countries. Make $1 trillion in infrastructure plan. End Common Core. And the list goes on. Actually, I've got time here. Propose I'd pass tax simplification, impose extreme vetting, quote unquote, give a middle class. Wow, microphone, settle down. There's too much Trump talk. So the microphone's like, I'm out. Wow, that was a lot. can we clip that out for prosperity reasons? The microphone hitting my leg. Apparently my microphone's like, nope, enough Twitch, enough Trump tracker for one day. That has been, ladies and gentlemen, that has been the Trump tracker. Yeah, we might have to come back to that segment because, yeah, not many people are liking that segment anymore, but it's lost its will. Trump's lost his steam a little bit, you know, he hasn't been as active as he once was. So there you go. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, it's Dale Campbell here with you. We're on Twitch, and we're heading into the second hour of the program. As we continue, the G20 summit has taken place in Germany. We'll tell you all about it as we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's Dale Campbell here with you. It's 10 o'clock.